And now we have sound too. I'd like to begin by calling the roll call. So Gino Grimaldi is not here. Susan Cox, I am here. Pete Knox.
I'm here.
Kelly Sutherland.
Present.
Lawrence Green.
Present.
Michelle Weber. And Heather Murphy. We have a quorum?
No.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And at this point, we're going to have comments from the board president. And since Gino isn't here, I am just going to say welcome to everyone who is here and look forward to a productive meeting. And comments from the general manager.
Good evening, Chair and Board. Just one quick comment. Last week, Josh Schmidt and I had the opportunity to head to Salem and provide some testimony to the Joint Committee on Transportation. I may have butchered its name just now. And we talked a bit about what LTD, our frontline employees, experience each and every day, how the impact on, from a public safety perspective, the things that we're doing to make sure that we have a high level of safety on our service. That testimony was received well, and we had the pleasure to do that. I will also say from a very high level that we fully anticipate that we will be coming back to the board. Our negotiations with ATU have gone well, and we suspect to have some news this week. And I'll conclude my report.
Congratulations. If you didn't have an opportunity to hear the testimony, it's live. Your unit was recorded, and I encourage you to take a look at it. Both of you did an amazing job. I was really proud to hear what you had to say. And I've heard some really good comments back from some of the representatives who were there as well. So are there any announcements or additions to the agenda? Okay. Hearing none. It's time for audience participation. Do we have anyone, Camille, who signed up to speak?
No.
No? Okay. All right, so then moving along, we're going pretty well here.
Yes.
Okay, so on to the policy for board travel and expense reimbursement. Camille?
Good evening. So after the board adoption of the amended and restated board bylaws last August, we committed to the board that we would be taking all of the board's policy and subcommittee bylaws through council review to ensure there was no conflicting language to the amended and restated bylaws. So the two policies and the budget committee bylaws that are these first two agenda items are the last to go through legal review. And when reviewing these, we discovered that the board travel and expense policy, this is a standalone travel and expense policy, and it is actually redundant to the district's travel policy. At the time that this policy was adopted by the previous board, it was not understood that the board did actually fall under the district's travel policy. So we are bringing this before you today to have a discussion about the dissolution of this policy and the return to the board being covered under the district's policy.
Are there any questions or comments? I think this is pretty simple. It's redundant, and just reviewing it, it seems like this just simplifies it. And
it does. It'll help ensure that we are maintaining proper documentation practices and not having duplicative procedures in place.
Okay. Do we need a motion for this?
We do not at this meeting. Okay. This was just an opportunity to bring it before the board for any discussion. And if there is no opposition, then we will put it on the consent calendar for the regular board meeting.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Great.
Thanks, Camille.
You're welcome. And so the next item is the, and sorry, Susan, I'm taking your
words
right out of your mouth.
I appreciate it very much.
So the next item is the board's conflict of interest policy and the budget committee bylaws. So these have also gone through council review. And we do have Andrea on the line virtually to discuss any of her recommended changes. If the board has any questions, they are just being updated from a language standpoint.
This is just sort of ongoing with just tightening up the language for all the policies.
Correct. Right? Correct. And ensuring that there are no, there's no conflicting language with the updated board bylaws.
Are there any questions? It's been a lot of good work. Thanks, Camille.
Good. Thank you. Okay, great. Then the same will apply for this policy and these bylaws. If there is no opposition, then they will go to the consent calendar for the regular board meeting. Great. Thank you very much.
Any questions? Last chance here. Thanks, Camille.
Thank you.
Scrolling back up. When did I do the I didn't see that.
So that's not on the agenda.
It's for the board meeting.
You just need a signature on it.
Got it. Okay. Sorry. Board we miss Gino. Okay.
We're doing fine.
Okay. So we are at the, excuse me, the strategic plan quarterly reporting.
Yes, thank you, Chair and the board. We have a couple guests with us virtually. James Rubin and Nicole Cleary, both from TransPro. As you recall, TransPro guided us through the strategic business plan development and also what we're going to talk about tonight, which is our TransDash. So just a little bit of background, and James is going to drive here in a moment. We have transit itself has been looking at how do we report outcomes of what we do beyond just ridership? What are the real outcomes in terms of how do we connect people to jobs? How do we connect people to health? How do we connect people to other pursuits? And we'd like your feedback on this TransDash. It's a dashboard that'll be both internal and public facing that involves some other transit agencies across the nation. And I will let James explain it to you in more detail. And the goal here is to really get your feedback on this model. So James.
Well, thank you so much. And it's a real pleasure to join you guys this evening. Thanks for having me. As you said, this is really our effort to kind of elevate the discussion around transit beyond volume and really talk about the value that transit provides, not just to the people using it, but to the community at large. And we feel like TransDash, which is our dashboard, is exactly the place to do that. It kind of unifies a whole bunch of different metrics in one place. One of the things that we really like about it is it tells about metrics that matter, particularly to customers. We spend a lot of time in the transit industry talking about transit metrics and things that don't necessarily matter directly to customers. This dashboard does that. It sets quantifiable goals for everyone to see. It's public facing. It's easy to benchmark with other agencies. And I think most importantly, it really helps tell the agency's community value story so that when people are saying, well, you know, your value is only limited to the number of people you're moving from one point to another point, you say, well, no, our value goes beyond that because we're part of a larger community and we actually have some data from the community to show us that. So this really unifies all of that. I'm not going to spend a ton of time here. I'm going to actually jump right into the dashboard and show you guys what this looks like. We're super excited because this is our first quarter with these dashboards. There are 7 other peer agencies in addition to yours that are participating in this. We have Chariots and we have RTD in Denver. We have CATS in Charlotte, CDTA in Albany, VIA in San Antonio, the Rapid in Grand Rapids. Did I miss anybody? No. Oh, and Long Beach, of course, Long Beach Transit as well. Those are our pioneering, our pioneering 8 agencies. And together, we're going to create a national dashboard, which is launching in a couple of weeks, that kind of summarizes customer experience across the entire country. This is a dashboard that's going to grow. So by the end of the year, we're going to have twice as many agencies on board, which is super exciting for us. And that'll even paint an even bigger national picture. But enough about the national picture. Let's get a little more focused on yours. So what I'd like to do is share my screen and show you the dashboard, but I cannot do that while this lovely presentation is in front of us. All right. So I hope everyone can see the LTD Trans Dash dashboard. And of course, I'm going to start, like all of our dashboards have, with a wonderful introductory message about what the dashboard is and what it's doing. And I can't think of a better person to tell us about the dashboard than your GM and CEO. So let's take a listen. I hope the sound comes through.
Welcome to our TransDash Digital Dashboard. We're introducing this innovative platform to both monitor and report our performance in areas of our service that are most important to our customers and to our community. The dashboard has been designed to be very easy to use. It will show you each quarter of the year how well Lane Transit District is performing here in the Eugene-Springfield area, as well as how our performance is stacking up against other transportation systems nationwide, how well we're hitting our marks, and where in our service or operations we might need to level up our efforts. As you know, we strive to deliver a very high-quality customer experience to anyone who boards our vehicles. And beyond that customer experience, we are also working very hard day in and day out to deliver a high level of value to our community. The TransDash Digital Dashboard will actually measure this important value factor that we believe is so important to our overall mission and commitment to the community. For many years, public transportation systems here and nationwide have been measured simply by ridership. Unfortunately, counting the number of seats filled offers a very limited and inaccurate perspective of the service and value we deliver to the community. All of us at LTD are excited to share this new way of monitoring performance with you, and I encourage you to take a good look at the system. Take it for a test drive and come back to our website often so you can see for yourself how well we're performing. We believe you might discover a few things that you didn't know about LTD. And we hope our TransDash Digital Dashboard will demonstrate to you the real value, not just the volume, that we deliver to the Eugene-Springfield community.
Okay.
Welcome to our TransDash Digital
Dashboard. We could watch it twice now. So that was a lovely introduction message, which will be on our landing page, which you see here before you. At the bottom of the landing page, you could see the 5 strategic areas. This is sort of a reminder to folks that this is what you guys are focusing on as your priorities. People can click on each one of them and it'll change the screen and remind folks, well, this is what you mean when you say customer satisfaction, what your goal is, how you've prioritized customer satisfaction, which is the first of your 5 strategic areas. And each of these is clickable to give you a little bit more background about the strategic area specifically. But that's really just sort of kind of ribbon stuff. If we check out the overview up on top, this really gives us a little bit more insight into the agency, your mission, your vision, and your values. We have headlines that are going to be populated each quarter here based on events that have happened over the quarter to the agency. And then at the bottom, you'll see some of the key metrics that we're following on the dashboard. Now, you'll see these all again as we go through each of the strategic areas. But these are sort of the high-level metrics that we're following that are speaking more directly to your success outcomes as you've defined in your strategic planning. So you could see, for example, that your goal points around customer satisfaction are 30, and your most recent survey achieved a 25.6. So you're 85% of the way toward that goal. We'll get into these a little bit more in a second. And let's take a look at one of these now. The first outcome or strategic area is customer satisfaction. And here you're going to see all of the metrics that we're monitoring on the dashboard for your customers' customer satisfaction. You can toggle through them. So the first four you'll see are customer net promoter score, customer sat, perceived on-time performance, and on-time performance. Each of these have different meanings. The one that might be most confusing to folks is this customer net promoter score. We really like this as a way of measuring customer satisfaction. It's used really heavily in the private sector to measure people's likeliness to recommend a product. And we feel like transit customers deserve the same kind of service and understanding that the private sector folks do as well. So we really love employing this technique for transit and transit analysis. And the way this goes is we simply ask customers on a scale of 0 to 10, how likely are they to recommend the service to their friends and family? If they give us a 0 to 6, we call them a detractor. And if they give us a 9 or a 10, we call them a promoter. And we subtract the detractors from the promoters. And the ultimate result is your net promoter score, which has a range of negative 100. It is possible to have a negative net promoter score if you have more detractors than promoters, of course, all the way up to a positive 100. So you can see here, this key metric that we're following, net promoter score for you guys, your goal was to achieve a 20. You actually achieved a 21 net promoter score in your last survey. So you're above 100%. You're at 105% of the goal that's achieved. Customer satisfaction is a little bit more straightforward, just direct results of how satisfied are you with the service from the most recent customer survey. Perceived on-time performance and on-time performance, the difference between those metrics are exactly as they're stated. The perceived on-time performance is the results of a customer survey that are telling us how they perceive the performance of the agency versus the on-time performance, which is the result of agency metrics that determine whether or not vehicles arrived at their destination on time. But these are only four of all of the different customer satisfaction metrics we're monitoring. You can toggle through to the next set up here, and you'll see a whole nother four of them appear: perceived safety, perceived security, accidents per 100,000 miles, and agency courtesy. All of these are data that we've accumulated from you guys or from surveys and put that into our dashboard so that we can see to what degree you're achieving the goals that you have set. And there's even a third set of these here you'll see. I'm toggling to the last one, which is bus operator complaints per 100,000 boardings. I'm going to go back to the first one, back to our net promoter score, and show you another neat feature about the dashboard before I just give you a quick peek at some of these other strategic areas. You don't need me to talk you through this. The whole idea of this is we're going to make this available to you guys to work through and understand. That's really the whole point of the dashboard, is for people to kind of go in there and start using it and interacting. So if we click on net promoter score here, you'll see at the bottom, we have this really wonderful chart. We can make it a little bigger by clicking on this. And what this does is this is going to track net promoter score over time, both for your agency and for peer agencies. So if we check your most recent score here, we could see that net promoter score of 21 in this quarter. And if we check some peer agencies, you could see that CATS is at 50, CDTA at 27, RTD 11, the Rapid at 32, and across them, the average is at 30. So this is going to be a really useful tool for you to compare your results to peers. You might see a peer with a really high score that you might want to contact and say, hey, how did you get up there? And I expect you'll be getting some phone calls from some peers who were noticing some of your high scores and saying, how did you achieve that score? We'd love to emulate your best practice. So that's a really neat feature of the toolbar. I don't want to spend a ton more time on something that I want you guys to be able to look through, but I'll take you to a different strategic area, which is employment engagement. This is the second of the five strategic areas. So here you'll see a different set of metrics that we're monitoring. The first one is this idea of employee engagement. These are the results of employee surveys where we ask employees, do they have the skills and resources necessary to do their job? Do they understand what success looks like? Do they feel supervisors provide feedback? And do they believe they work in a safe environment? And we aggregate the results of that into one metric. Here, your goal was a 65% and you actually achieved a 67. So again, you're seeing a slightly better than 100% result here. And across this, this strategic area, you see several other metrics that we're monitoring on this page. And again, on the next. Our third strategic area is community value. This one has the key performance indicator of community relevance. And this is the survey results that we get from our community surveys, where we go out beyond just transit users, but we ask the community at large how much value they put in having LTD and having that service. Here you set a goal of 79 and you achieved a 79. So right on target for the goal. We see some of the other community metrics that we're following across the board here. These are the four of them. So access to frequent transit, access to frequent transit total population versus minority population. The fourth is going to be financial health. Monitoring three metrics here, operating cost per boarding. I believe we're still I apologize. We still are collecting a few last minute data points to load into the dashboard. This looks like it's one of them. Our team knows about it. So we will populate that as soon as we can. But two other metrics that we're following here as well for financial health. And last but certainly not least is sustainability. And we're following a bunch of metrics here across sustainability, perhaps most importantly, net greenhouse gas emissions benefits, which you guys had set a goal of 70%, and your actual results are 77%, so we're at 110% of the goal. I really like the idea of ridership here under sustainability. I think that's really neat that you guys have chosen to monitor that under this particular strategic area. I think that speaks volume to the idea that, you know, the more people we can get on board transit, the more we feel like we have a sustainable future. So one other feature of the toolbar I want to point out before turning the show back over and addressing any questions and summing things up is this toolbar in the corner. This is perhaps less important now because this really is our first quarter. Any data that you see in the dashboard that predates this quarter is because we've gotten some historical data from our agencies. But for the most part, we're considering this time zero. This is when we're launching. So as we load more data into the dashboard in subsequent quarters, we're really excited about the idea that people will be able to look at each quarter and compare quarter to quarter. In fact, this presentation that I'm giving you today is really only half a presentation. What we'll have in the future and subsequent quarters is me talking about the snapshot, what's going on at your agency, but also talking about what's changed since the last quarter. And that we're only going to have as we start loading more and more data into this dashboard. So I'll conclude. I'm going to stop sharing the dashboard. I'm very clunky at this. There we go. Stop sharing. I'll conclude by saying that this is a work in progress. And one of the things we're doing is we're getting comments back from key stakeholders and really the public, because we do want the public to be able to participate and work on this and get their hands in there. So we've been getting comments back from your folks specifically, which have been really, really wonderful. We've been running that by our team and we've been trying to work on addressing those one by one. And we know that we have a design challenge in that we really want this to be accessible to people. When someone looks at this on a web page, we don't want them to be confused by lingo that's like inside to the transit agency. We don't want them to be confused by graphs that are hard for them to read. We want them to be brought in. We want them to be excited about what they're seeing, and we want them to be interactive with the tool. So we really are in the process of redesigning how it physically looks and how people are going to interact. We focused really heavily on getting the data up and getting this thing into full functionality. And now we're going to sort of tweak how it looks, make it look better, and add some additional functionality. One of the things we're really concerned about is trying to make sure that this thing is translatable into multiple languages if someone wants to access the dashboard who isn't a native English speaker. So that kind of functionality we're going to be rolling out as we move forward. But we're very excited to get this data in there to be able to show it to you guys and to present it and to include it in our national dashboard. So that is about it for what I have for you. I'm happy to address any questions that you have.
Thank you. Any questions? I'm curious about, you said there are, you mentioned the other agencies that are already doing this. Are we all starting sort of at the same time, or have they been doing it for a while?
Okay. You are all starting at the same time. This is round one, quarter one. All eight of our innovative agencies are all on board at the exact same time.
Okay, great. And so the data, all of the information is going to be uniform for, or are there any changes based on, I don't know, differences of each particular city or place?
There are, you know, we went through a pretty extensive process with each agency working to select the metrics that the agencies themselves wanted to follow. And not everyone picked the exact same metrics. There are a lot of them that are really common, right? That net promoter score is a really common one across a whole bunch of our agencies. Overall customer satisfaction, that's something we're not too surprised to see that everyone really wants us to talk about. But not every metric is included across every agency. So we will do our best on the national presentation to kind of tell a story that we think, you know, covers the agencies that did pick those specific metrics. We're also really, really careful in the guidance that we give to agencies about how the data is collected. Some of our agencies, we're collecting the data, we're doing the survey work for them, so we're not too concerned about that. But in cases where we have other, where we have agencies and other people are collecting that data for them, other companies, we have a very strict set of guidelines as to how these questions have to be asked and phrased, what kind of scales have to be used so that there is uniformity, because we really don't want to compare apples to oranges.
Thank you, that's helpful.
Any other questions?
Can you pull the original presentation back up? Thank you, James.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. So if you'll go over to advance this slide, please. Advance again, and one more time. We talked about the tactics. So coming up, a couple of highlights from Q2. We're going to be doing a deep dive on our performance management strategy period. We've had this process in place now for 22 and 23. So we're going to have to take a look at where we've been and where we want to go and how it matches, because this is the first strategic plan we've done in some time. So we want to review and start to get ahead on the planning for when we refresh. We did see ridership increase by about 12%, which matches previous quarters. So that's good news. And you saw that we were ahead on the sustainability goal. And so we're gonna continue to invest in renewable fuel. Sometimes that can be challenging with supply barriers, but as we transition to our electric vehicles, we still have to have some of our diesel vehicles. A good substitute for our electric is the R99 diesel blend that we use, which is 99% renewable diesel, which is very, very clean. Next slide. So ahead, you saw that there are some areas that need to be populated, really financial health. Some of those, we can start to monitor those and get a strategy around that. We're gonna continue on our employee engagement and our cross department connections, making sure that we're reporting on how we're advancing in those areas. And with the measures around community value and customer satisfaction, we'll continue to capture those that information through survey engagements. I would like to highlight something that James said. This is designed to be simple and intuitive for people that are in the transit business and outside of the transit business. And our perspective is it's more important to have plain language so that folks can understand what they're looking at, because this is really a report card on how their taxpayer dollars are being spent. So that process continues. I know Pat Walsh reached out to several in the community to get feedback on the process, on the tool itself. And we've been working back and forth with TransPro to make sure that we have a tool that is accessible and easily understood by all in our community. So we're proud of that. So if there's any additional questions.
Are you tracking how many people access it?
James?
Sorry about that. Are we tracking how many people access it? Ultimately, this is going to live on your website, I believe. That is the plan. And we're going to work with your web folks to get this situated there. So I think you'll have the capability to do that within your agency.
Is there going to be a public launch?
Yes. Yes. So once we're super comfortable
to go live.
that the data is easily understood, then there'll be a launch. I know, trying to time it where it's a national deal, so we're really mm-hmm. working with TransPro to make sure that we're ready.
Okay. Seems like that would be a great opportunity for community outreach. And
exactly. Yes, you're great.
Line everybody up on a computer. Like us, we're sitting here. Where, yeah, exactly. We'll be the go-to first.
Do a little co-create.
Yes. Any questions, any comments? I think this is exciting, and I really do appreciate the fact that it's not going to be jargon heavy, that it'll be words that, you know, normal people will understand. So without it, no one will go there. So good. Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Looks good. And the community engagement and co-creation, Tom, thank you.
Good evening, board. I'm going to be talking to you tonight about a concept that that we're looking at, others are looking at in the public sector, called co-creation. So I'll talk a little bit about kind of what that is, how it's being employed in other areas, and how we're thinking about using it. I wanted to start by just calling out that, and I gave this to the SPC last night as well, but in the state, if you're not familiar, we have over 50 years of policymaking around, in particular, land use planning and transportation planning. And one of the, and so the state has developed a set of goals around that process. And goal number one is citizen involvement. And I wanted to capture just a couple of things that that goal one talks about, because it's relevant to how we're thinking about engagement, in particular, how this might tie into our community outreach communications assessment, or COCA project. Again, 50 years, the state specified that citizen involvement efforts led by federal, state, regional, and special purpose districts like LTD should be widespread, easily understood, and well-funded, leading to effective two-way communication between citizens and elected and appointed officials. The administrative rule for goal one serve a clear purpose, which is to allow citizens to participate in and influence outcomes in all phases of public projects. And that was, as we were looking at how we wanted to approach the COCA project, that really rang true for us. That's what we're trying to accomplish as we go through that review of the expectations of the community relative to how we've met them and what kind of framework we might be able to develop that helps achieve those outcomes and actually strongly meets these goals. We talked in the AIS. I mentioned that co-creation as a thing was began in the private sector in the 90s, and the example I gave were Legos. One of the most stable companies in the world was starting to see sales kind of fall for the first time ever, and so one of the things that they did is invited their customers in to talk about, well, what, you know, how can we make our products better? What can we do? And that led to, I mean, if you're familiar with Legos, and I've got children and grandchildren that are, we've got thousands of Legos at home. So we're really into Legos. That was a big part of I think there was, you know, rise again in terms of just being a product. That kind of process where they're inviting folks in is not only from the customer side, but they also, larger companies have brought in their suppliers as well. So they're looking at the entire process by which they develop value for the community. And in that way, we can look at And in fact, one of the things that they talk about in co-creating is actually we need to look internally at how we're co-creating. It's a natural thing for us to look internally because every day what we do is not the product of one person, right? It's the group working together. So it's co-creating every day the service that we put out. So we'll be looking internally as well as externally. And when it comes to external, I want to talk about the community, which I characterize as a community of communities. And then also our partners, whether it's federal, state, local, we partner with our fellow agencies in this region to the value of the community. And then with respect to this community of communities, that's really where we want to focus in terms of the community outreach. And again, understanding what the expectations are from the community and the various ways in which that might manifest, because there's different communities with different districts and different opinions on how we're doing or what we're doing. And so that project would, you know, we would use co-creation as an orientation. And if you looked at the handout that was attached to AIS from King County. King County is kind of where I'm going right now. That's the best example we have, and it's close by. We're going to go up and visit them. That's embraced this notion of co-creating, and I'd encourage you to go onto their website and check it out, because they've really done a lot of good things. I'm in contact with someone up there. We're trying to find out more about how they're doing things. I will say they're at the beginning, but their orientation to this was actually came out of an equity goal that they have, realizing that really to address a lot of the equity issues they were talking about, for example, in their processes. And you can imagine when we have a lot of processes here, but as a county, many, many dimensions of engagement and outreach. And what they were finding is in fact that there's a process inequity in their community. As we think about it here, there's a lot of process inequity in the public sector here as well. And so we want to address that. We want to use this notion of co-creating as a mindset, as King County describes it, to help frame how we're engaging with the community. I will say it's a somewhat intangible. You know, it's conceptual, it's an orientation. Again, I liked how King County used the term mindset. It's a mindset, it's how we want to approach our engagement with the community. And I would say specific actions that we can think about are around collaboration, how we collaborate. For example, there's some great work done around what's called stretch collaboration. Stretch collaboration is going beyond, and I'll just here give you a sense of it. It abandons the assumption of control. It gives up unrealistic fantasies of harmony, certainty, and compliance, if we ever had those fantasies, and embraces the messy realities of discord, trial and error, and co-creation. Stretch collaboration looks like martial arts practice. Stretch collaboration enables us to get things done, even in complex situations with people we don't agree with, like, or trust. And then, by the way, that's from a book, if you're interested, by Adam Kahane, K-A-H-A-N-E, called Collaborating with the Enemy, How to Work with People You Don't Agree With, Like, or Trust. When we talk about the community of communities, let's be honest. I mean, that's that kind of, there's an element of that. But how do we work with the community is really the thing. And again, collaboration is required because there are a wide variety of perspectives on what should be done, on who LTD should be relative to maybe who we think we should be. So that collaboration, working on collaboration, is something, you know, as we do our public engagement around specific projects, as we do even processes, our ongoing processes like the budget process and the CIP adoption and things like that, how are we how are you working and engaging the community in a way that, that can collaborate and again, lead to this, this co-creation outcome that we're looking for? I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. Again, we're at the beginning of this. We're looking at, we want to take that mindset. We want to have that mindset as we go into the, certainly into the COCA project, but I think it's something that we can really embrace in everything that we do and how we look at not just externally, but internally as well. And so it's a powerful, I think, concept. I want to say, as I was preparing for this, I went back and read Amanda Gorman's The Hill We Climb, if you're familiar with that. Very powerful poem that she read. And one of the things that I saw in there that, that really spoke to me in terms of what we're trying to do is she said, and so we lift our gazes, not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must first put our differences aside. That's what we're trying to accomplish in the COCA project and as we move forward. So there'll be a lot more to talk about as we start using this, like the board to understand more about what some of the principles and how to approach this. So as we move forward, we'll be doing that. And I don't know if you had anything else to add, Jameson.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. I think it's important to understand the why. Why are we talking about this right now? I think the experience that we had with Moving Ahead, quite frankly, called into question some of our outreach efforts. I will say that our outreach has been consistent with the projects that we've done with other transit systems, with MX. There was a ton of outreach with all of our projects. There's a ton of outreach. However, the pandemic happened and things have changed. And, you know, with Moving Ahead, people who were maybe there at the beginning of the project may not be there, or people who were there may not remember. You know, the pandemic changed a lot of things. So we have that. We also have post-pandemic travel patterns. I don't see remote work ever going back into a box. I think it's a competitive advantage for hiring and retaining personnel. So we have to answer the question of who is LTD today and who do our communities of communities need LTD to be in the future? And how do we get there and what does that look like? So I think the basis of this philosophical approach of co-creating is the basis of getting to those answers on who we need to be. And you know, we're seeing a successful program in Cottage Grove that is different than the service that runs right here. Is that service replicable in Coburg, right? We don't know yet, but we're gonna build that with the communities. So I think it's important for us to recognize that. I also think it's important for us to recognize that it's a much bigger question than just service delivery. It's a question of, is there an identity that we can establish for Eugene Springfield in the innovation space, in the transportation space, and who are the partners that we can accomplish that with using this model? So this is the baseline and the start of the conversation for what does LTD or who does LTD need to be to serve our communities moving forward. So that's why we wanted to bring this to the board to talk about that, because it's the basis of everything that we're going to do moving forward. In addition to our comprehensive service analysis, our ride source analysis, our mobility management plans, all of these will be co-created with our community. So that's why I wanted to bring that to you all today.
Well, I did have a question, or just kind of a comment. Does the culture exist internally and externally to allow for change? So change is really hard in a bureaucracy, and you can invite co-creators and you can invite ideas, but if you're not able to act on them, it actually makes things worse. And so I guess my remark would be just, you know, at the early stages of this, make sure that we're ready to really listen and have the capacity to change. So, I mean, I don't know the internal or external culture well yet, but we have to build that at the same time that we're asking for all of this input.
Yeah, I mean, good framing, good context. I think I would say we're ready to have that conversation. We want to have that conversation with the community because we have a lot to offer. We have a lot to do. We need to engage the community in a way that really meets the needs of the community and helps guide us in terms of what we're doing day to day and into the future. It's a different kind of conversation. It's not, and I'll speak just as a planner here for 36 years. A lot of my work has been project based. So we have a project, we want to go out and see what the community thinks. Co-creation is not project based. It really is an orientation, like I said, a mindset as to how we view the community, how we want to engage in the community, again, both internally and externally, to try and get at what do we collectively really need to be doing, and where can LTD kind of provide what's really being looked for here in the community. Again,
It sounds wonderful, really, frankly. It sounds great. And with that kind of commitment to it, I'm sure it will be successful. And
but you're right. It is going to take time and practice, and we'll learn some things along the way. But
so if I could, that's a great question and super realistic. The fact of the matter is, the transit industry has been changing continuously for the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years with different models and different thought processes on what we can affect. What are the linkages that are outside of just ridership, whether it's healthcare, whether it's affordable housing or homelessness. And I think this is the prime time for us to really take on this conversation. Because we have unique challenges that we face throughout our service area that we feel that we can provide help within our scope with these issues that we're facing, and it's scalable. So one of the things that we're looking to do is create an environment where we can identify issues that transit can affect and have that process be replicable to other areas throughout the country and inform the industry. So we're really excited about it. I will say there is resiliency within the organization to change. We're going to continue to get better at it. It's very hard. We're going to continue to get better at it. But the fact of the matter is, we talk about ridership numbers and pre-pandemic numbers and where we are in light of pre-pandemic. The ridership numbers were going down on fixed route for years prior to the pandemic anyway. So we have to figure out what is the what are the service model options that will work in the communities that we serve. And they may be different, slightly different from community to community, but we're going to work to create that with the communities.
This is really interesting. I'm excited how you're trying to move forward with this. Just a couple of thoughts. I don't know how long it is till you kind of have this, you know, flushed out to a point where you could actually implement it. And I can see the immediate, you know, in the not necessarily immediate future, but when we come to actually doing the COA for the fixed route system, this may be a great opportunity to give this integrate this into how we handle that. My concern And this is a problem that Jameson kind of alluded to, and that is the when you have longer projects like moving ahead, which are literally years in their in planning, development, and then implementation. Just transportation projects in and of themselves just take forever, essentially, at least as far as a public mindset goes. We started moving ahead in 2015. We might have been closer to building something if there hadn't been a pandemic, but in the reality is that we probably would be at the late, would be in somewhere in the middle of the design phase right now, had there not been a pandemic. Well, that's 8 years, right? 8 years, you've got people who started with it and people who are here now are two different groups of people. And this is, I think it's going to be the biggest challenge, no matter what model you use. And I don't know how to solve it. I'm not bright enough to figure that out, but it is something I think that needs to be kept in mind as we move forward with all the public engagement stuff. And it's a concern. I don't have a solution, but I'm just kind of want to put that out there. Thanks.
Well, and if I can engage with that, Pete, that's a great framing. And I would say some of what we're learning is you know, the feedback we're getting on these kinds of projects, maybe we need a different approach. Maybe we're not thinking in a way that, because I will say on the other side of how we're doing our projects, there's some urgency to get stuff done, to make these improvements that can allow us to provide better access. I mean, that's one of the things, for example, King County's talking about is equity access, or access to equity, I'm sorry. Transit is a way to address that, is to provide more equitable access to, you know, everything. But we need to move forward in a way that can engage the community better in that vision. And I'll say again, in my experience, there are a lot of people that don't really even think about being engaged in the public process. And I've seen that over the years as well. So it's hard to get everyone. It's hard to say, yeah, we're talking about the community here, when there's a big portion of the community that doesn't engage in our traditional approaches. And so that's something that we're looking for as well. Again, imagine a longer term commitment to co-creating with the community involves not talking about designs and things like that. It's understanding what these people need, where they need it, how can we kind of start addressing those needs on a regular basis. Is the days of big projects gone? No, I wouldn't say that, but we have to take a different approach, to be sure. So,
Mark, anything to add?
No. Toss of things are gonna happen.
It's a lot to think about, isn't it? Well, I have to say, I didn't ever think that I would necessarily hear you quoting poetry at a meeting. So that is a change. I'm excited about this. Just even the enthusiasm with which you talk about it. I think that so many industries are in a transition and sort of who are we,
yeah.
Who are we going to be, who should we be, and may not be what was behind us. So I think that so many different things are at a tipping point. So I think this is the perfect time for something like this to happen. And from the outside looking in, I sense there's enthusiasm for that, you know, among the staff, that, you know, there's been a lot of changes, but this seems like it's involved in a different tone and spirit. So I'm enthusiastic about it. And if there's anything that we can do to support you, I'm certainly in.
That's great. And we are going to be, I mean, the COCA project is all about this. And that'll be an interesting process to go through. And I hope you all can be engaged in that as we
move forward. Maybe we should all read that book. I mean, it might be helpful.
Describe collaboration.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a job, just the external, it's really the external of this, the mechanism and mechanisms of bureaucracy, and ideas are so spontaneous. People get excited and they get engaged, and to have, you know, to keep that momentum going, and and making sure that we deal with all of these sort of external forces that sort of stand in the way of progress.
Right.
Great. Anything
else? All right.
Nice job.
Thank you.
The hill we climb.
Yeah.
Okay. So are we?
Yep.
Wow. Did we all talk fast or what? Is there any other business or comments or questions? If not, we stand adjourned early.
Really early.
After you end items from like a minute.